and Norm Shealy. You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
Consciousness tonight, and thanks for listening. This is Eva Herr, and tonight I have with us Dr. Daniel Benor, and we're going to talk about his latest book, 7 Minutes to Natural Pain Relief. How are you, Dr. Benor?
Really good, thank you, Eva.
Thanks for coming on tonight. You're always a pleasure to have. So,
a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. So why don't you before we get started, tell everybody where to find you and just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get started.
I am a very frustrated psychiatrist. I trained when psychiatry was all psychotherapy and refused to go along with just prescribing medication. And over the years, not only was the shift in what I did changed, but there was a big shift in how I was allowed to do it by the insurance companies. Because initially, I had 50 minutes once or twice a week for psychotherapy that was covered by insurance. Over the years, it shrank to where the last time I was practicing psychiatry in New Jersey, it was only 15 to 30 minutes once a month, which is quite a challenge for doing psychotherapy and medication.
Wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I was pretty stressed myself, never mind that my clients were stressed. And I kept looking for brief, deeply effective interventions that I could use in the limited time that I had. And first I came up with EMDR, that's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which is a right and left stimulation of the body that releases whatever you'd like to let go of. It could be stress or fear or bad memories or pain. The problem was, even though it worked well, it's supposed to be used only in the therapist's office. And so it worked well when people were with me, but I couldn't send them home to use it, and 15 to 30 minutes once a month just wasn't enough to help. And then I discovered emotional freedom technique, that's EFT. And this is a long series of acupressure points on the face and the chest and the hand that do the same thing. They release stress, fear, pain, cravings, and so on. Well, this was great because I could send people home to do it, but because I tended to get people with more serious problems, people with panic disorders or post-traumatic stress, I had people who would get in a bad state and then they couldn't remember the long procedure of EFT, so they wouldn't use it. And some of my other clients were children with ADHD who were distractible and impatient and impulsive. And they wouldn't use it from the beginning because they had no patience for it. Finally, I discovered that it was possible to bring elements from each of these two different therapies into one therapy, which I'm now calling WE, the holistic, spelled with a W, hybrid of EMDR and EFT. And we can talk more about that in a little bit. If you want information about it, you can go to the website, www.paintap.com, and you'll see the method described. You'll see articles. I have a book and a workbook. There are videos you can see. So that, in a nutshell, is what I'm up to.
What's the difference between those three things?
EMDR is a right and a left stimulation of the body where a person focuses their mind on what's bothering them, and they get a very quick and a very deep release of whatever negativity is there. The problem, as I mentioned, is that some people get extra heavy releases, which can actually re-traumatize them because they're so intense. So it works, but it has to be used under the guidance, direct supervision, of a therapist. Emotional freedom technique is this long series of acupressure points with an affirmation. And as I said, it works well, but because of such a long series of points, the compliance rate that I found wasn't very good. And when I brought the two together using the tapping on the right and the left side of the body of EMDR and the affirmations of EFT, what I've developed is a method that works quickly and deeply. I can teach this in under 10 minutes to a child who's 7 years old. And that child will use it and will go home and teach brothers and sisters and friends how to use it because it's so very simple. And the lovely thing about it is that it is with a person at any time that they need it. So once you know it, you've got it. You don't have to come back to the therapist because you're upset. You can use it on the spot.
How do you know what to say and where to tap? I've gone through this. I've read your book, and I just love it. But how do you know the exact right thing to say for you?
You'll know immediately if you're on the right track because you'll have a decrease within a few minutes in whatever the negativity is. If you're not on track, then you can tweak the words that you've used, or you can do a different kind of a tapping, which would be on the right and left side of the body, but some other parts of the body. And it doesn't matter where you tap, generally. It's just that you're stimulating the right and the left side of the body.
Okay, interesting.
And maybe, Eva, if you're game, I could just demonstrate.
I would love that.
Okay. Can you pick anything that you'd like to feel better about? And if you want, you can share it. Or the nice thing about this is if you don't want, you don't have to share it. But I'd ask you, how strong are the feelings that are attached to this issue on a scale from 0 to 10?
Okay. I don't know if I'll share it if you really want me to, but I'd prefer not to.
Oh, it's fine not to.
But if it helps you teach the people that are listening, I will.
It's up to you, Eva, how comfortable you feel. But what I will ask is just the kinds of feelings that are attached to the issue.
Okay.
After you tell me how strong it is.
I have a very strong attachment to with low self-esteem.
Okay. And
so,
yeah?
Whatever you can teach me about that, I would be grateful.
Okay.
People find that hard to believe about me, but it's the truth.
So when you think of having low self-esteem, what sort of feelings come up?
A heavy feeling. It's
heavy in any part of your body or just emotionally?
Emotionally. Maybe head from the head, and it feels like a darkness to me. I don't know if that makes sense, but it feels dark
definitely.
And it feels heavy.
Okay. And if you think about this right now, and 10 is the worst you could possibly feel, how strong is it at this moment?
Maybe about an 8.
This is good. Not that it's so strong, but that it gives you a good space to feel how well this works.
Okay.
So are you on a handheld or a hand-free phone?
A handheld phone. I have one hand-free, but I
okay.
can't hold
so
it with my shoulder,
with your,
I guess.
No, with your free hand, if
okay.
you just alternate touching your eyebrows on either side of your nose, and you touch them right and left and right and left, back and forth. And as you're touching your eyebrows that way, just repeat after me.
Okay.
Even though I feel this heavy feeling.
Even though I feel this heavy feeling.
Especially in my head.
Especially in my head.
And this darkness.
And this darkness.
When I think of my low self-esteem.
When I think of my low self-esteem.
And I want you to think of some times when this comes up, and you don't have to say out loud, but just tell me when you've really connected with. Okay.
I'm connected to it, clearly.
Okay. And then you add out loud, and I still love and accept myself.
And I still love and accept myself.
Wholly and completely.
Wholly and completely.
And you take a nice deep breath. And then you pause with tapping your eyebrows. And you ask yourself, okay, how strong is this?
I think it went down probably a point.
Good.
But I can't remember what I said now.
So
I don't know.
It started at an 8.
I mean, I can't remember the words you told me to say.
Oh, well, that's okay. I'll repeat them.
Okay.
So, again, tapping your eyebrows. Would you be comfortable saying, God loves and accepts me?
I'm comfortable saying whatever you want me to say.
No. It's up to you.
I'm happy saying that.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel it fits? You're not just saying it to say it.
No, it's definitely my life.
Okay,
God is
good.
My life.
So let's add that. As part of this, okay?
Okay.
So you start off tapping your eyebrows again.
Okay.
And you say, even though I have this low self-esteem.
Even though I have this low self-esteem.
And it comes with this heavy feeling in my head.
And it comes with this heavy feeling in my head.
And a sense of darkness.
And a sense of darkness.
I still love and accept myself.
I still love and accept myself.
Wholly and completely.
Wholly and completely.
And God loves and accepts me.
And God loves and accepts me.
Wholly and completely.
Wholly and completely.
And unconditionally.
And unconditionally.
And a nice deep breath at the end.
It does make you feel lighter.
Good.
It did make me feel. That's good. Thank you.
So what number would you say it is now?
5 maybe now. Maybe it went down 2 points that time.
Well done. Now,
thank you.
We won't take up time on the air to continue, but by repeating this, and you can see that adding God may make a difference in that it went down more than when you just did it on your own.
Oh, that's amazing.
So this is a way that people can validate for themselves whether something in the transcendence, something of the divine, can be a power for healing in their life.
So do they focus and they find that thing in their mind that bothers them the most and then
right.
put that in the most focused words that they can find?
Yes.
Is that the goal?
Yes, exactly. And especially to connect to the feelings that are evoked when they focus on it.
Okay. So you're not just running change of thought in your head or change of pattern. You're having to connect. What's that psychoneuroimmunology? You're trying to do this psychoneuro part two?
What I call it is a holistic part, and I spell that with a W. And that's why I named it We, because I believe that each of us has a vital part of ourselves in our body, in our emotions, our mind, our relationships with each other and with whatever is outside ourselves, and with spirit. So I invite people, as we do this, to connect with every part of themselves. So even though the problem may be the focus, there's also the learning about oneself and how we're made up and how each part of us is interconnected with all the rest of us.
So what about, you also have a chapter called Replacing Positive Statements.
Yeah.
Do you find a negative emotion when you do that, or you just focus on the positive aspect?
So when a person brings their negative all the way down to zero, and just let me give an example. Let's say I was working on a fear of heights, and I was no longer feeling any fear of heights when I thought about it. So then I can install a positive to replace the negative that I've released. So I would say, I can look down from any height and feel comfortable. And I'd say to myself, probably, oh, I'm not too sure about that one. maybe I believe that about a 3 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd start tapping, and I'd say it out loud, even though, I can look down from any height and feel comfortable, and I love and accept myself wholly and completely, etc. While I'm tapping and doing the affirmation, this is called the replacement positive affirmation, it starts to get stronger. And I can repeat that until it's up to a 10. And I'm absolutely confident I can look down from any height. And once I do that, then the negative is much less likely to come back. And in very short time, most people who have fears or phobias like that can completely release them.
Do you have CDs that people could listen to or watch to help them see exactly what you're talking about? If it were somebody, I guess I'm thinking about a little girl that I know was molested, a teenager. And I know that her parents aren't into this kind of stuff because they don't know what they don't know. I mean, I guess they'd probably consider it. Do you have things they could look at?
Absolutely. There's a free YouTube available that gives you the basics of it. There's a man whom I worked with, a businessman, who had a frozen shoulder pain for 4 years. And within half an hour of doing this exercise, he was close to free of his pain. So he volunteered to be videotaped, and so that's available. And then I have longer videos if people want to go into greater detail. And people can pick up the method. It's described fully on my website. I've had numbers of people write to thank me, and I'd never talked with them or communicated directly with them before. Because they were able to pick it up either from the website or from my book.
So how does it, let me go back to this positive reinforcement. You also talk in your book that it's important not to use negative words when you're trying to do the positive statement. Why is that?
Yeah. The unconscious mind is very much like a computer. If you put the wrong word into a program, it just doesn't work. Sometimes if you just put an extra space in, it doesn't work. And our mind is like a computer of that sort. If we say, I will not feel afraid of heights, our mind is designed in such a way that we don't really hear the word not very well. And so instead of my unconscious mind hearing, I will not be afraid, it hears, I will be afraid. So it's always best to use positive in a positive affirmation. So I say, I will feel comfortable when I look down from any height.
Will this work for things like high blood pressure or cancer maybe even?
Absolutely, Eva. The high blood pressure is often associated with stress or fear. It may be associated with unconscious issues.
Mm.
Oftentimes, a person has leftovers from childhood, because we program our lifetime computer when we're little. And so most of us have some silly programs in there. The most common one that I find is, if it hurts, then run away from it or bury it. And that's really good for a child to do so that they don't suffer too much. The problem is, though, we keep that program when we grow up. And when we're adults, we have many more options. But because... I dropped my phone here. Because we have the program in our minds, we go on doing it. And so one of the things we can do is to help a person to release the program, as well as to release this program, as well as to release whatever the issue is that they're dealing with.
So if someone, say, had high blood pressure, would you just say, even though I know I have high blood pressure, I love and accept myself, and you tap when you do that? That's what you would do?
I usually take a good hour to go over a person's life story when we first meet, because many times I can spot issues in childhood that the person might not have thought of, might not have noticed that they could be relevant to their high blood pressure. And so when we do the we, I would then have the person bundle whatever is going on in the present with a childhood issue. So if the high blood pressure, say, was associated with anger, and whenever they get angry, their blood pressure rises, I would have them work on anger issues that are going on in their current life, but also on issues that they remember from their childhood. And then it seems to work much, much deeper.
So how do you bundle?
So let's say we were working on someone's low self-esteem.
Okay, we can use me.
We could take any memories you have of where this started in your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you could focus on the memory and then say whatever the memory is, and even today I have low self-esteem. So you're bundling the issues from the past and the present. And I find that we work even better and deeper when we do that.
How'd you figure this out, Dan?
It only took me 40 years of being a psychotherapist.
You're amazing.
And,
well, you know
the
that?
Fact is,
you really are, have blazed the trail. You're amazing.
Well, we have been so much fun, Eva. It is so quick. It has exceeded all my expectations by such a long shot. Not the least of which was that it's been helpful to me. I've been able to release my stress and to continue doing what I've done all my professional life, which is to peel the onion of my resistances and my hurts and my negative self-image, so that layer by layer, we have helped me to let go.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
I remember years ago, the first time I ever talked to you, it's been a very long time, we had this conversation about your holding in emotions and your skin. Did you work that out with this? Did it help that? Do you remember that?
I don't remember the particular issue. Eva, I have done so many layers over the years. Do you remember anything more about it?
There was something about you were having skin problems on your face. Your face was breaking out or something. And we talked about how you were holding in emotions. And that's about all I remember.
Okay.
And because they weren't coming out, they came out through your skin. We talked about that.
I discovered something very basic. I discovered that I never got over my teenage pimply reaction to potato chips, greasy stuff, and to chocolate, sweet stuff. And I have a sweet tooth, which is witnessed by my many gold fillings. And so what I worked on that really helped was my cravings for these things. And behind the cravings, I discovered, was a feeling that I was unlovable, because I grew up feeling that my parents didn't really love me, didn't care for me, didn't appreciate who I was. And so by clearing first the craving and then noticing when the craving would come up as I was working on it over a period of several weeks and months, I discovered that it came up especially when I had felt rejected. Mm. And then I got into my childhood feelings of having been rejected by my parents.
Wow.
So we oftentimes takes us deeper and deeper. And the fun part is when the number just refuses to go down.
And then
when that happens, I turn around and I ask myself, or I ask the person I'm working with, what are the three good reasons to hold on to this symptom at this moment? Most of the time, people are bemused, and they can very quickly come up with some suggestions. Like, it gives me a good excuse not to have to go to work someday, because I'm really unhappy with my work. Or if a person with a backache might have an excuse not to do as heavy work as they were required to. Sometimes it's a comment on their life. And pain, especially, will speak that way. So when people come to me with pain, it's the first question I ask them, after taking their history, is what do you suppose the pain might be wanting you to know about your life? So a pain in the back might be, I'm really feeling I'm carrying too heavy a burden. This could be a social burden, an emotional burden, a burden in a relationship, a burden from work. When they start talking with their pain, almost immediately, the intensity of the pain will go down in 9 out of 10 cases. Because once we listen to the pain, it doesn't have to yell at us. People are astounded and perturbed when we do this, because I've worked with people who've had pain for decades. I worked with a woman at a conference where she had a pain in her knee, in her right knee, that had been there for 20 years. It had gotten so bad that 1 year earlier she had a knee replacement, which made the pain even worse. Well, in about 20 or 30 minutes, working in front of about 100 people, that pain was cleared. It was gone.
Really? Well, yep. Let me ask you this. I had a lady ask me that very question yesterday. She said, my knee, I have no cartilage left in it, and they want to put a new knee in. What can I do for it? So would that help her knee, even though all of her cartilage is gone? I mean, is it potentially possible to help a knee whose cartilage is gone?
The fascinating thing, Eva, is that even when it's a clearly physical problem, it could be shown on the x-ray like a knee with no cartilage, or it could be a cancer that's been diagnosed on surgery. The pain part of it can respond amazingly.
Interesting.
Now, it may not relieve her of limitations in what she can do with that knee. And the pain may get stirred up if she exerts herself using that knee. But if she starts making the pain her friend instead of her enemy, that pain is not going to be as intense. Usually, also, she will learn an incredible amount about what's going on in her life. Because pain is there, not just because of the physical issue, but because of the knee bone connected to the whatever bone. And it's part of us.
So what about addictions and post-traumatic stress syndrome? I have a son that just came back from Iraq. Okay. He's not interested in getting well, though, but he does have a lot of soldiers that work, you know, that he works with that really have a lot of problems that want to get better.
Yeah.
Will it help them if they were to do this?
There have been people with PTSD that I've treated. I haven't treated, people from the current war, but I've treated people who've had horrendous abuses, sometimes from childhood and again from later in life. Sometimes I get children with horrible abuses. This relieves almost all the symptoms really, really quickly.
What about sleep? The nightmares and things they have.
Amazing for sleep and nightmares.
Really?
Yeah. I teach children, and children will wake up with a nightmare and then just go back to sleep again.
Wow.
Usually the inability to fall asleep is because the mind is just chewing and chewing and chewing on horrendous themes. And the nightmares are just replays or reenactments of variations on the themes of the horrors that a person experiences.
So do you focus on the horrors, or you focus on what would someone say for those kind of things? Even though I have nightmares, or do they focus on the horrors?
The specifics of the nightmare.
Okay.
And if they don't remember the nightmare, then whatever sorts of things give them similar feelings in their memories of their experience.
Interesting. What about for depression?
You asked about cravings.
Oh, yes, addictions and cravings.
Let me just mention that we relieve the craving, and that can be within minutes. I had a teenager, a 14-year-old, who, believe it or not, was 2 weeks off a year's heroin addiction. She was literally itching with craving, and she was able to stop the craving using Wii within minutes.
So would they do it every time they get the craving? Is that what they do?
Yes.
They do that thing? Okay.
Yes. And Eva, a craving for a substance or a cigarette or alcohol or food, which is the hardest of all cravings to treat, these cravings usually are stirred, like my craving was, for sweets, by some sort of feeling. So once you start to make your craving your friend, it will point to the issues that you could release, and then the cravings are no longer there.
Okay, I have to ask a stupid question here. When you say make
such
it
a thing.
Thank you. When you say make it your friend, how do they do that?
They start talking with it. You know, doctors, and here I was trained in medicine, before that in psychology, after that in psychiatry, and we were taught to use pain killers. We wanted to eradicate the pain. That's absolutely the wrong thing to do. That's only something you want to do if you think that a person is just a bag of chemicals, and you're adding a chemical that's going to make their bag of chemicals more harmonious somehow, chemically. You're forgetting that there's a person in that body. The pain is a message from somewhere inside that person about a disharmony in their life.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Whitney, because I'm real into the science of emotions. I'm really in illness. So let's just say someone has an addiction and they have low serotonin. So would you want to, and we know that they have low serotonin. So would you want to, even though I have this addiction and I know I have low serotonin, I love and accept myself, and would that help raise your serotonin? Or is it just breaking the signaling that's going on in the brain?
You got it.
Does that make sense?
Eva. You got it, Eva. If you break the pattern of signaling, and I hesitate a little bit, using the word break. It's more if you repattern your responses to whatever it is that bothers you, then your body knows how to readjust things to come back to normal for the most part.
So you're affecting the autonomic nervous system? Is that what you're doing?
You're affecting the whole body, the digestive system, so that you absorb what you need better. Your patience, so that you don't just run off and do the first thing that comes to mind, but do something thoughtful for yourself. Your body hormonal levels of stress hormones and neurohormones can be regulated by just allowing the body to let go of the stress which has thrown it off from its harmonious functioning.
That's so amazing. So have you ever tested the chemical levels before and after to see what happens?
I wish I'd had the funds to do that kind of thing.
What about Godfrey Kellerman? Have you ever talked to him about doing that kind of research with you?
I'm sorry, who is that?
His name is Gottfried Kellerman. He's he has this place called Neurosciences, Inc. I think it's called neurorelief.com. That's the easiest way I can remember to tell people about it. But he's conscious. You know what I mean? He doesn't tell that to people, but the last time I interviewed him, the last 10 minutes of the show, I asked him about it, and boy, did he ever open up.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he does, is he tests neurotransmitter levels, and he researches. That's his passion, researching of it. That might be somebody you could talk to about that. And also, you may already talk to Stanley Krippner about his PTSD stuff, but last time I talked to him, he said, please, anybody that you know that's doing anything cutting edge with PTSD, please put him in touch with me.
Oh, good. I know Stan, so that's good. Thank you, Eva. You're a good networker.
I think that's my job, to connect people, whether it's listening on my show or whether it's to connect the researchers, That's what I try to do, is connect people. But that's so interesting. It makes so much sense. And so you can avoid having to take even excess supplements, much less medications, if you can do this consistently.
Well, supplements may be important, Eva, because our food today is so adulterated. It's full of pesticides and fertilizers and other chemicals, and much of it comes from miles and miles away, so it's been stored and oftentimes irradiated so that it preserves better. So we end up with food that doesn't have a whole lot of nutrients in it, and we may need the supplements. One of the nice things about wheat is that it also, just like it can give us feedback on whether the transcendent is a power in our life, we can do muscle testing in order to discover what's going on inside ourselves. So I might do muscle testing to ask, is my mother issue a part of what's going on right now with my stress level? person with the knee pain might say, is it okay for me to do some mild exercise? And their inner self really knows answers to questions like that.
Can you...
But sometimes people don't know how to do this. So the muscle testing gives them a response, which they can then check out in their real life to see if the response validates or doesn't validate what they got by way of information.
Can you explain to orally how to muscle test by yourself?
Sure. Muscle testing was discovered by hypnotherapists probably 100 years ago. It's called an ideomotor response, I-D-E-O motor response, where the unconscious mind uses the body to communicate because we're so shut off from what it wants us to know. So a person might hold their hand on their knee as they're sitting down with their palm right on the leg, just around the knee, and raise the index finger of that hand and hold it firmly up in the air off the leg while the other fingers are still firmly on the knee. And then with their other index finger, they would press on the first index finger that's held up in the air. And they could say something like, my name is Eva, if you were doing it. And you check how strong that finger is. And then you could say, my name is Susie. And you could see how it feels.
So it's a binary system, right?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Usually people will notice that when they say something that's not true for them, the muscles go much weaker. And there are other ways to do that, that I teach people. And as you can see, I teach this over the phone very easily. So a lot of the people that I'm helping are in faraway places. I'm living near Toronto now, and I'm helping people in the States and in Europe and Australia and so on.
There's one other thing I wanted to ask you about before, let's see, we have about 10 or 12 minutes. There's a section in your book where you're talking, and I can't remember the word, I'm trying to look for it now, where you can work on healing somebody else with we through yourself by using intention. I forget exactly what you call that.
We call that surrogate healing or proxy healing.
Yes.
This is the kind of thing that I learned from healers who do Reiki or therapeutic touch kind of healing. I just generically call those kinds of healing spiritual healing.
So how does it work? How would you work on someone else?
When you ask how does it work, I can't answer, in terms of explaining it. But the mechanics of it are that, as an example, I have this in my book. I worked with a boy who was 6 years old and autistic who was staying with a babysitter who was a healer that I was visiting. And she was the only one that this boy's parents would let babysit with him because she really understood him and he liked her and got along with her. He wasn't verbal, and so it was really a handful to help him if you didn't understand him. The problem was that she had two little dogs who were not dangerous, but they were very lively. And this boy was petrified of those dogs. He would literally cringe in the corner if those dogs came near. So because he couldn't cooperate with me, I said, I am, and I used his name. Let's just call him Joseph. I say, I'm Joseph, and I'm terrified of these dogs. But even though I'm afraid of them, I still love and accept myself, etc. So I did it for him. And within half an hour, he was comfortable with the dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he even know that you were doing anything with him? Was he sitting by you?
He was in the room, But it's really hard to know whether he understood what was going on.
Very interesting.
But people have done this with others who aren't, you know, within miles of where they are, and they've gotten results.
What about wound healing for people who have, you know, wounds of various kinds? I mean, physical wounds, surgical wounds, or bed sores and things like that.
I've not had the opportunity to check on how well wounds might heal, but the pain of the wound can be markedly decreased. I had my last wisdom tooth pulled a week ago, and the dentist gave me a prescription for ibuprofen, and I didn't need it. I was able to use Wii. And I did take a couple of aspirin as the anesthesia was wearing off, but that's all I needed.
Interesting. What about serious kinds of pain, you know, from surgeries or, you know, broken bones? Does it help with serious pain too?
Absolutely. And migraines respond amazingly.
Really?
There was a secretary at work who had bone spurs on her heels, and she had surgery, and with the first one, she was hobbling around for weeks. With the second one, she readily accepted my offer to learn Wii, and she was much, much better after the surgery, and she barely needed painkillers. The nice thing is, any time the pain starts up, you have the remedy right there.
And things like fibromyalgias and things like that.
Oh, excellent for that. And fibromyalgia oftentimes has a strong emotional component.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Many people with fibromyalgia are depressed. Many of them have issues of self-confidence and self-esteem, and they tend to put others before themselves. So many, many ways that we can be useful. Depression is fascinating because usually I recommend that people go all the way to zero using the we mm-hmm. on negative issues. But with depression, I recommend that people will feel better installing some positive along the way, even though they haven't brought the negative all the way down.
Now, something important about that in your book, you do, for so my listeners know, you give some examples of things that they can use to say to give them a basis to start on, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Because a person may not think of a way to say it or use it, so I've given as many examples as I can. But the examples are not to be taken as prescriptions, like for pain in the knee, you say such and such, or for pain of a migraine, and migraines respond magically, Eva. People often will clear their migraines completely and permanently using this. But we is meant to be individualized.
So what would you say? I'm sorry, go ahead.
It becomes the tool that is just right for that person's issues at that time.
So if someone has a migraine, because I get stuck on words here, give me an example of what you would say.
You would just describe in detail the feelings of the migraine. So it's a pounding, it's a squeezing, it's excruciating, my eyes are tearing up, my jaw is hurting. So they name all the feelings, and they name their emotional feelings, and I feel frustrated and angry that it's happening yet again, and it's really interrupting my life. And whatever else comes up, they just bundle it all together.
Okay. Does it matter? Do you have to say the exact same words every time?
The nice thing is if you can write it down, you can look at it, and if it's working, then you can repeat it again.
Mm-hmm.
And if it worked the first time, likely it'll continue to work all the way down to zero. If it's not working, you can look at what you've written, seeing what you might tweak or change or add or delete to make it fit better.
Okay. All right, well, we got about 4 or 5 minutes left. Please, if you don't mind, take a few minutes and tell everybody again where to find you. And the book, it's really good. I love it. It really helps explain a lot. It's 7 Minutes to Natural Pain Relief, Weave for Tapping Your Pain Away by Dr. Daniel Benor. So if you would just tell them where to find you again and any other thing you want to say before we hang up.
Thank you, Eva.
My pleasure.
You can find the information on We with a lot of articles describing how to use it, how it works, it doesn't work, at www.paintap.com. If you're really in need of help, you can get a download of an e-book. There's a workbook, which takes you step-by-step through the process, which is also available as an e-book. There are the videos. I have an instructional video for therapists with a PowerPoint presentation and some video clips from people that I've helped. I also have a discussion of the holistic part of it, because as people start to use it, they realize that, yes, their body is connected to the rest of them, but they're not that familiar with the rest of them. So on the website, the Holistic Healing Research site, holistichealingresearch.com site, at the very top, there are little round pictures of body, emotions, mind, relationship, and spirit. When people click on those, they get a discussion of how each is related to all of the others.
Oh, that's good.
I'm also looking for people who've had remarkable recoveries. Slowly I'm gathering reports of people who've been able to let go of problems that were thought to be medically incurable, like a woman with scleroderma, who was given a death sentence by a doctor saying she only had 2 years to live at the most, maybe even just 2 months. And she managed to clear herself using EFT.
Really?
Which is one of the components of, We. There were other things that she did, including nutritional things, and she had her silicone breast implants removed and found that each of these things was helpful, but the EFT helped her the most.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how much I thank you for coming on and what a great job and how grateful I am for what you do. Really, I can't.
Eva, it's a mutual admiration society here. I'm just delighted, as always, to have you interview me. You really understand this stuff. You help me explain it because having, used it for so long myself, I know what it's like, but to explain it sometimes, it's really helpful to have someone ask intelligent questions.
Oh, thanks. You just made my day. And listen, if you're interested in contacting Dr. Kellerman, look up his site. It's neurorelief.com, and if you need his contact information, just let me know.
Certainly.
An email or something. I think y'all might make a good team to do something new together.
Lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, and I hope you'll come back.
I look forward to it.
Good night, and Happy New Year.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Elliot Asher, author of Integral Health.
Integral Health. Integral Health.
You can hear me and others speaking about consciousness and health. Just tune in every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. to Infinite Consciousness with Eva Harris.